Good morning and welcome to Lorne Community Church today. A warm welcome to anyone worshipping with us for the first time this morning. And do stop and chat with us over a cuppa after the service. And yes, like I said at the start, it's great to be able to welcome Tim Welch from Bristol Baptist College with us this morning. And today we continue to look at the fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. And as Keith Saunders stated last week, we'll be looking at chapter 6 and the seizing of one of the disciples by the opponents of the gospel. We'll briefly look at what happened to Stephen, what caused the early church to disperse and flee from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We'll be looking at where God is and where he might be when God's people are facing opposition, persecution and injustice. Now, the book of Acts has many difficult passages, and we'll be looking at some of those difficult verses, hopefully gently and sensitively today. Too often the reality of what life was really like for the early church can often be airbrushed out of history. In reality, for the early church, it was hard, challenging and potentially dangerous. And in 2,000 years, nothing much has changed. If we wish to be obedient to God and a faithful follower of Jesus Christ today, it will be hard, challenging, and potentially dangerous. I need your help right now. Can I have a show of hands, please? Can I have a show of hands? How many of you here have been to the ancient Roman city of Chester? Put your hand up. About half of you here. Thank you very much indeed. You can put your hands down. Any of you not like Chester amongst those of you who visited the city? It seems as if you all liked the place. Well, Fiona and I, we actually lived in Chester for 8 years. I studied theology. Also, I was there for 3 of those years. And also, during that time in Chester, I was a street pastor. And I know that there's 2 or 3 street pastors amongst us this morning. And I want you to picture the scene. It's late at night in the Roman city of Chester. It's probably mid-January. It's a Saturday night. I'm out in my street pastor's uniform with 3 or 4 other street pastors. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're going down Bridge Street, and some of you might know where Bridge Street is. And right outside the entrance to the Grosvenor Shopping Centre, late, well, in the early hours, this Sunday morning in January. It's cold, it's nearly freezing. And there is a person who is a rough sleeper, actually sitting, or rather lying on the steps to the entrance to the Grosvenor Shopping Centre. And we go over there, I go over there, and we gently try to see if this person sleeping rough is okay and whether he needs any support, any help. And although he said that he doesn't really need anything, we end up giving him some water to drink and a space blanket in the very cold temperatures in the early hours of Sunday morning, when I hear a commotion to my left. And just as I'm standing up and turning around to see where the commotion is coming from, there's a group of people, young people, who talk about, why are you helping all these ruddy homeless, and I'm keeping it clean here, why are you helping all these ruddy homeless? And as I turn up, straight away, one of them comes up to me and headbutts me. Only this guy is only about 5'7" or 5 foot tall, and he headbutts me in the chest. It's also a very cold night, so I'm wearing 5 layers, including my big street pastor's coat. So although he's headbutted me,
I didn't feel a thing. And they all just move on, shouting and swearing. But they all just move on, and I don't feel a thing. And we carried on the streets of Chester until 3 o'clock that morning, without really giving it a second thought until we got back to base. And we had to report the facts in the paperwork. We had to report the facts that even though I hadn't been hurt, I'd actually been assaulted whilst carrying out my duties as a street pastor. I'd been assaulted as a Christian.
Now, often, I've made the mistake in my Christian journey of thinking that if ever I achieve perfect holiness and become the perfect Christian, then everything will be healthy and wealthy and prosperous, and we'll all live happily ever after. And honestly, in the Christian life, that just ain't the case. In the book of Acts and in the life of the early church, disciples like Stephen constantly faced opposition and persecution. And a lot worse than I had to put up with on that January night in Chester. Constant opposition and persecution for being obedient to the will of God. And in many cases for them, it really was fatal. I've become fascinated with the person of Stephen, Saint Stephen, in preparing this sermon. And Stephen was a Hellenic Jew, a Greek-speaking Jew. And although he wasn't one of the 12, there's every possibility that Stephen encountered Jesus when Jesus walked the earth, and he may have been one of the 72 disciples referred to in the Gospel accounts. And Stephen is first mentioned by name in Scripture in chapter 6 of the book of Acts as one of the Greek-speaking Jews who were appointed to oversee the fair distribution of food to the Greek-speaking widows amongst the wider earlier church. And as it says in verse 8 of chapter 6, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. And at the time, there were many, many different synagogues in Israel, many of whom didn't agree with the early church or with the teachings of Jesus. Members of the synagogue of the freedmen, Jews of Cyrene, Alexandria and elsewhere, began to oppose Stephen in particular. And perhaps out of jealousy, Stephen was performing wonderful miracles in their midst by the Holy Spirit. Stephen was performing wonderful miracles in their midst by the Holy Spirit. We'll take up the story now in our first reading. The words will be displayed on the screen overhead. And for those of you who have a Bible with you, please turn to the book of Acts and chapter 8, the fifth book in the New Testament. The book of Acts and chapter 8 and beginning, chapter 6. Thank you, Rachel. Chapter 6 of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 8. And Rachel will now kindly bring it to us.
Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?"
Are these charges true? Thank you very much, Rachel. The reading that Rachel has just brought to us and the opposition that Stephen encounters reminds me of the Gospel according to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and the nine Beatitudes. In particular, the last two Beatitudes where Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The words of Jesus. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who opposed Stephen persuaded men to lie about Stephen. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Blessed are you when people falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Now, those words are pretty countercultural. They give a clear indication of what the Christian journey will really be like. And we won't feel particularly blessed at the time. They point to how the Christian faith will often be tough, will often be a challenge. But there again, he never said it was going to be easy. Instead, that if we receive opposition for telling the truth and following Jesus, the Son of God, then at least we must be doing something right. Can I have another bit of help from you all? I'm going to need your help again now. Can I have another show of hands?
I might have asked one or two of you this question before. I'll ask you again. Please, if you put your hand up, if you've ever worked in a supermarket, whether in Aldi, Lidl, Safeways, Gateways, any of those, Again, around about half of you here have worked in a supermarket at some stage. And after I graduated, thank you very much. Thank you for your help. After I graduated theology in Chester in 2014, I went to work in religious broadcasting part-time, but after a while I needed another little job, and so I ended up working part-time at Morrison's in Chester on their cake counter, making cakes. They were exceedingly good cakes. And that gave me the opportunity, the way in, for the street pastors, because I was still very much a street pastor in Chester at the time, to do some charity backpacking in the store on a Saturday to raise funds to enable street pastors in Chester to buy first aid kits, new first aid kits that we could take out onto the streets on a Friday night and a Saturday night with us. Yes, Morrison's allowed me to do that. And so I think it might have been the very next week after that particular encounter when I was headbutted in the chest, the very next Saturday, a whole load of us street pastors in our uniform, we went into Morrison's in Chester, and for a whole day we did charity backpacking, and each one of us manned a different supermarket at checkout, where every time a customer came up to pay, we offered to pack their bags for them in return for a small donation towards the street dancers and RD's first aid kits. And on a Saturday, the store was packed. 18 checkouts in total, you know. This was in the days when there was only two or three self-service tills. 18 checkouts we manned, and by 1 o'clock on the Saturday lunchtime, there were long queues at every one of those checkouts. And I'd been on the official morning. Standing next to me was one of our team leaders from the Midlands, a man called Ken Wood. Bless you. A man called Ken Wood. He was to my right, and the checkout immediately next to him on the right. He was a team leader and a very inspiring person was Ken. He was only a little guy himself, about 5 foot 7, 5 foot 8. But very inspiring. And that particular Saturday lunchtime, he was on the checkout to my right when I heard a kerfuffle coming, this time, not from my left, but from my right in store, when a guy, big guy with a very northern accent, we were in Chester, started shouting at him, "What are you ruddy Christians doing now?" He shouted at Ken. "And I'm cleaning it up a bit. What are you doing here?" And at the time, that January, there had been a lot of floods. There had been heavy rain that winter, and a lot of the north of England for 2 months had been badly affected by floods. And this guy, towering over Ken, was saying to him, "What are you ruddy do-gooders doing now? You know, if you really had anything useful to do, you'd be going to where some of the floods are and helping other people." And he boomed this. Ken, as he towered over him, Ken was wearing his street dancer's uniform. And loads of people in the store were now looking in Ken's direction as this guy stood accusingly over him. And Ken, our street dancer colleague, remains very calm, very collected. And he said to this tall guy, he said, "What were you doing on Wednesday, just gone?" "I'll tell you what I was doing on Wednesday, just gone. In the morning, I loaded as many tools and pieces of equipment as possible into my car, and I drove off to Yorkshire, and I spent all day in Yorkshire with the victims of the floods over there, doing whatever I could, rebuilding things, clearing stuff away. I spent all day on Wednesday in Yorkshire helping just a handful of the victims of the floods. What were you doing on Wednesday?" Everybody in the store at the checkouts were looking at this big tall guy. He could say nothing. He could say nothing to this Christian who'd really been opposing and accusing towards. And eventually, he did nod and accept that he was totally wrong and out of order. And he did apologise to Ken. And Ken went on to actually pack all his shopping for him, and the guy did put in a small donation into the bucket
of these ruddy Christians, and he called them a lot worse than that. However sad the story of Stephen was and is, I don't want to focus on martyrdom too much or on persecution for too long. Instead, I would rather want us to remember all the promises the Lord has made to his people. Rather we remember all the promises the Lord has made to his people. All through the Bible, the Lord promises to remain close to his people, whatever the circumstances. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, it states, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." That's the Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the Lord said. That's what the Lord promised his people in Old Testament times. And it's just the same for God's people today. What do we think about that? And Joshua would learn this later on. And in the book of Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, it states, As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that applies for us as God's people today. Whatever the situation, however dark it is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Later, King David of Israel wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" And then at the very end of his earthly life, Jesus, God in human form, at the end of his earthly life, following his death and resurrection, and just before his ascension to heaven, just after having given the Great Commission to God's people, Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And that promise rings true, where they all ring true, for us just as much today, for God's people. Jesus says, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Whether we receive opposition or persecution on the level that poor Stephen did and some of the other members of the 12 did, even if the opposition that we receive is quite mild in comparison, Jesus promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. What a God we serve. What a great God we serve. Just for a few minutes now, I'd like you to get into groups of three or four, and I'd like you to discuss amongst yourselves, if you're able to, the times when life has got very dark for you, life has got very dangerous for you, and where you have sensed the presence of the Lord with you, maybe where you have sensed the Lord intervening on your behalf. I'd like you to get into groups of three or four and just for a few minutes share, if you're able to, when you have sensed the Lord close by, right beside you. Just for a few minutes.
Thank you very much indeed, and thank you to everybody, either in your groups or out loud now, who has shared sometimes very personal things about when you've been aware of the presence of God with you, where God has miraculously intervened. We've just got time for our second Bible reading, and I'm going to ask Rachel to come up for the second reading. The Christian life isn't always glamorous and happy-go-lucky, though, is it? It can sometimes be very dangerous, but God is always with us. With your Bibles, if you're following in your Bibles, Book of Acts chapter 7 now, chapter 7, and from verse 54, the words should be on the screen overhead.
"When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great procession broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria.
Thank you, Rachel. Yes, as shown in the book of Acts, as shown in the life and death of Stephen, the Christian journey, the Christian life can be dangerous, it can be very challenging. But the Lord promises to be with you always. And as it says in the book of Romans, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. At the time, it often doesn't seem like it. But that's true. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Thank you very much indeed. We sing again. Time is marching on. We sing again. And yes, we look to this God who came to earth in human form. We look to put our trust in him. Let's stand to worship my Jesus, my Saviour.